Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello. Well, you know, I was thinking about this not too long ago, and I was encouraged. I know that we've been talking some time about getting fit and enjoying some recreation and getting back in shape. And, you know, sometimes you get stuck in a paradigm, you know, a pattern of thinking where you think, you know, I can, maybe I'm getting older, I can't do those certain things anymore, and maybe I can't be as active as I used to be. And you just kind of go with the flow and go with a mindset that's maybe what's popular to other people, and it kind of limits you. And I just came across an article and some news about this gentleman. I mean, obviously we think about people working out, we think about young people, and we think about people being active. But there's a guy by the name of Jim Hurd, who at 81 years old, Pat, 81 years old, is still, he's running. He's a sprinter. And he competes amongst other men in their 70s in these events. He has ribbons. He has medals. I mean, he's 81 years old. And we're not talking walking. He's actually, we're not talking like a marathon, a jog.
Right.
A sprint. You know, I mean, sprint is like an explosive race. You're down on kind of, you know, on your hands and you know, real low. When that gun fires, you're supposed to be just bolt out of the box. You're supposed to just, with an explosion, make a mad dash. And here's this 81-year-old man who's just shattering at least my paradigms of working out and how fit you can be. And it's just an example. I mean, just think about Jim. I mean, it's a great example for working out, but it's such a great example for so many things in life where maybe you've had a mindset that, well, you know, because most people don't do that, then, you know, I need to stay within the box. You know, the box only says that you could only do, you know, this thing. And what was cool about Jim is that he wasn't always a runner. He wasn't always a sprinter. Believe it or not, he started running and doing these sprints when he was in his 60s. He started, yeah, his coworker kind of figured out, what do you know, he stopped hanging out and they asked him, what do you do? And he's like, well, I haven't told my family this yet, but I'm actually training for this sprinting competition. He was inspired by someone out on the West Coast who was doing this. And he said, I want to do this. I want to try it at 60. I want to encourage you that maybe you can be like a gym. Maybe it's working out. Maybe you've said, you know, I'm too overweight, or I'm too old, or, you know, my body hurts too much and I can't do those things. I can't run anymore like I used to. Those are for young people. I'm past my prime. Well, let me tell you, Jim totally shattered that paradigm. But maybe it's something else. Maybe you've thought that, you know, I've done, you know, all that I can do for the Lord, and that's, this is all I can, and, you know, I'm just happy to do X, Y, Z. Let me tell you, you can take that paradigm off. You can go into a whole new direction in your life, and you can say, listen, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. You can change the world if you can just change your mind. And it's amazing how patterns of thinkings and thought, you know, thoughts can either propel you into your destiny, or it can lock you into, you know, a doom and gloom situation where you can't see your way out. Your best thinking has actually got you to the place that you're in today. And so you can just change your mind. Oftentimes, and I hope we can get to this, you know, more in this hour, but the power of thoughts and where thoughts can take us to. You know, oftentimes thoughts are like seeds, and they actually produce, you know, bad seeds, you know, bad thoughts produce a bad harvest, but good thoughts produce a great harvest. And I was actually having this conversation with my sons, and I said, you know, what would happen to a child who is in school? It's subconsciously, they have a thought that maybe they're not smart enough, or that they're dumb, that they don't know anything. What are some behaviors, some actions or inactions that young person would have you know, how would they act out in their classroom? So they gave me some examples. Oh, he would, you know, he or she would be scared, or, you know, they wouldn't want to mess up. And but the truth is that if a person, young or old, let's say, who's learning in an educational environment, for example, has a mindset, has thoughts in their, you know, running through their mind that they're dumb, that they're not smart, those thoughts are operating in the background of their mind. Listen, do you think that child's ever going to raise their hand to answer a question? Do you think that student's ever going to raise their hand to volunteer and answer in public? Do you think that person's going to, you know, get up there and solve that mathematical equation if they think that in their mind that they can't? And it's so important to recognize that thoughts always produce something. And so I'm amazed at how many times people try to live in a autopilot type of environment, but not realizing that there's a thought processes that are occurring every day in their mind. You know, there's thoughts that saying I can, there's certain thoughts that saying that I can't. And if we can deal with our thoughts, where the Bible says to take every thought captive and make them obedient to Christ. I mean, when you think about taking every thought captive, there's a role that every person has to play. You know, I can't get in your mind and you can't get in my mind. And oftentimes people are struggling with the fact that I just can't control what's in their head. No, you can't. Mm. Everyone has to control their, you know, their a guardian of their own heart. You know, the Bible says, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of your life. It is the fountain of your life. And if you have toxic, stinking thinking, you're going to have toxic harvest. You're going to have a toxic result in your life. We can actually change our thoughts. Oftentimes, I like to say you can change it like you change a channel on a television screen with the remote. You just kind of just change it, and you can think on good things. In fact, that's what the Bible tells us to do. It says whatever's excellent, whatever's trustworthy, whatever's wonderful, think on these things. And that's the beginning of being able to redirect or refocus your thought process, and, you know, refocus everything that's going on in your life. Because let me tell you something, today can be the time that you make the choice to say, you know what, I don't like the fruit that I'm living in. I don't like what's happening in my life. I don't like the harvest. Well, you can decide this today to say, you know what, I'm going to change how I've been thinking about maybe this situation about my family, maybe change the situation, what's running in your mind about your career, maybe about your health, you know, your fitness. You can begin to start filling yourself with faith-filled thoughts and declarations of what you want to see manifest in your life. You can never go and do anything that's opposite of what you've been thinking about. I mean, we all know that in the natural, but how many times have we been trying to think about or thinking that we're going to do something that's completely contrary to the thoughts that we've been having in our mind? You know, I'm going to get a job. Meanwhile, you've been thinking thoughts that there are no jobs around there. There are no jobs. But you're not going to get a job. You're fooling yourself. Or, you know, I'm going to get fit. I'm going to be fit. I'm going to be in a lean, mean. I'm going to, you know, lose all this weight. But in reality, you constantly have thoughts in your mind that I'm not going to lose this weight. You know, I can't stop eating. This is not going to happen. It's never going to be a reality in your life if you don't change your thoughts, if you don't change the seeds that you've been sowing in your mind. Or, you know, if you have thoughts in your mind that God doesn't love you, if you have thoughts in your mind that God's not for you, if you have thoughts in your mind that God is rejecting you, then you're never, ever going to experience his love the way you can. Because those thoughts are going to limit your actions. They're going to limit what you do. And that's why we need to be encouraged every day to take our thoughts captive. You know, I like to the analogy that I like to use a lot oftentimes is that, you know, maybe there's a conveyor belt that's running through your mind. And all of a sudden there's a thought that comes there, you know. Not every thought that enters your mind is from you. God can drop a thought in, you know, for you, but so can the enemy. And if it doesn't line up with God or his word, you can take that thought that's going on that conveyor belt and literally snatch it down. Just go ahead and pull it down and make it obedient to Christ. And you can replace that bad thought with a good thought. Thoughts that say you can't, and you replace it with thoughts that say you can. And I'm telling you that if you change your thinking, you will see a different harvest in your life. You will see different things occur in your life that will just literally change your world. But it all begins with what are you going to allow to run in your mind. You have to be disciplined in that area. Otherwise, you'll start reaping all sorts of different things because you just allowed your mind to run wild. It's the wild, wild west. You have to give yourself parameters. There's certain things that you can't focus on, and there's certain things that you can. You know, it reminds me of when I was talking with my sons about baseball when they were playing, you know, and I was coaching there on their baseball team. You know, there had some boys that went up to bat, and I mean, they're taking their bat and they're hitting home plate, and they're ready. They're going to crush something.
Right,
I mean, it doesn't matter what the pitcher's throwing. In their mind, they're getting a base hit. And they're going to get on base. I mean, it's just, you can just see the energy and the intensity. And then you have some other boys that maybe they haven't played much, or you know, it's their first year, and they're you can see every thought. I mean, you can literally see in their actions and their body language their thoughts, because they're like, I don't know if I'm going to hit. They ask questions like, how many outs is it, coach? Because they don't want to make the last out, you know, or they're looking at the pitcher and they're saying things like, oh, he's throwing so fast. Oh, my goodness, watch his arm. You know, oh, those guys are so big over there.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all fearful type statements. And they're out of the overflow of the heart. The mouth speaks. All of those things are literally just been flooding in their heart. And so when they get up there, they strike out. You know, they don't do well. And then they wonder why they're not getting a hit. And they're not making contact. Well, because they defeated themselves in their own mind. It's impossible to move outside of what you've been thinking. You know, and it's not always goes to the swift or to the most talented. It goes to the person who thinks they can, who has faith to believe.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about this other young boy on one of their teams. He didn't have the most prettiest swing. You know, they talk about different people's baseball swings. And Jackie Robinson has such a beautiful swing. And this person just looks so nice when they're up at bat. I mean, you could just know that if they ever make contact, that ball is hitting out of the ballpark. Well, this young boy, he didn't have the prettiest stance or the nicest swing, but what he did have was faith, and he did have excellent thoughts in his mind. I mean, in his mind, and he'd tell you, I'm going to get a hit. And it didn't look pretty, but he sure got on base.
Wow.
And he wasn't the fastest guy, but he sure hustled. And more often than not, a person, I mean, he didn't have natural talents, and, you know, some people have natural gifts. They just start doing something, you know, and they just flow. He didn't have the natural gifts, but what he did have was a great command of his thoughts and his belief on what he was able to do, and he did it. But the same could be true of you. You know, you can say, listen, I'm tired of this toxic thinking. I'm tired of the results I've been getting. And I want to believe God. I want to move in the area of faith. I want to move in the area of believing and thinking that I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. That I can, that I'm the head and not the tail. And if God is for me, who can be against me? You know, and greater is he that lives in me than he that's in the world. And that I am important because God loves me and he died for me. You know, and that... you know, all things are possible for those who believe. And God said, call things that are not as though they were. You know, and if one can send 1,000 to flight, two can send 10,000 to flight, and I can do this. I can, me and God are a majority, and we can take the land. That's a whole different mindset. Those are all different thoughts than, you know, oh my goodness, it's Monday. Oh my goodness, it's Tuesday. I woke up today, you know, and yesterday was a bad day, and I'm sure today's going to be worse. You know, that's not going to go well. But I'll tell you that if we allow our thoughts to line up with the Word of God, and we allow the Word of God to just stay within our spirit, within our heart, we will begin to see the manifestation of God's Word. You know, Joshua says, do not let this book of the law depart from my mouth, your mouth, but meditate on it day and night so that you will be successful in all that you do. We have to meditate and spend time with God.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Law, liberty, justice. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My question is, I've heard a lot of talk about the conscience laws lately as regards to like the medical community.
Right.
Yeah, I was wondering about the fact that we spend millions of dollars every year as taxpayers that we might not feel good about, that we have no say over, that goes to abortion.
Well, what's interesting is the Supreme Court, on the issue of how your taxes are spent, have said that's a general obligation of being a citizen of the United States of America. And when you have to pay your taxes, that means sometimes your government may spend money you disagree with. The difference on the conscience clause issues, it's an individual right that you have to not violate your conscience through an action. And paying the taxes is not one of those.
Learn more about our work and receive timely updates on the most critical issues facing our country today by visiting us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
I love VFN Radio. You know, when I'm not saying it because I'm part of it, is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it because it's the Word of God. It's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage you to get a device, a radio or an something or an something, and put it on your desk at work and, you know, put it by the kitchen sink and just carry it with you or whatever and just listen. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it. 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world. You can hear VFN Radio. And if you miss a segment, that you just like catch a half of it, don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch, and you can hear the whole segment, And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices. And podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker on the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God. He says, this is a witness to them, letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so that you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what? I mean, really mean it. You know, not, they aren't faking it. It's just like, what?
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I was flipping channels last night, watching a particular minister who came on, you know, whatever program. And he's talking, he's holding his Bible, and he said, oh, great, I'm going to preach the gospel. And the first thing he starts talking about is that there's no miracles anymore, and there's no healing. And he says, it's like, wait a minute, I'm watching this, I'm alive, there's miracles. But I'm like,
you just show up, right?
Oh, he just called my attention. I'm thinking, oh my, are you standing on television telling everybody that God has no power anymore, or what are you doing? You know, what? And then he goes, but we do lay hands on people and pray for them. It's like, listen, in church, we got to really, you know, we're looking at America reflect the church. We want to say, you know, get back to the Constitution. We are, you know, going back and figuring that out and trying to hash it out. And what does that mean? But more so than that, we're abiding with God and His Word and trying to get God's Word fully in our heart in a way that despite what any constitutions are on the face of the earth, that His Constitution is what will keep us. And Constitution, the word Constitution means what you're made up of. It's not a piece of paper. When you talk about the Constitution, it's what we're made up of is what we're talking about, the U.S. Constitution. Mm-hmm. Well, when you talk about the Word of God, that's our Constitution. That's the Word of God, the living Word of God is what we're made up of. And so I want to encourage you that as you're looking at the nation losing its focus and writing off what it was written on, go back and start thinking about the church. I mean, the church is doing that. I mean, why would anybody say that God, why would anybody give anybody airtime that said that God has no power? And then I thought about all those poor captives, you know, that are listening to that every day, that it's so sad because there's no hope.
Yeah.
There's no hope. And then after he said that, he did say that, but we do pray for people.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, right. You pray for me.
Yeah, right. It's like,
going to happen when you pray?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
You know, my heart goes out to him. I can see, you know, some of the scripture that he was using. And sometimes this is what happens is you put your experience above the Word of God. Yeah, and that a man told me a long time ago, he said, don't ever put your experience, a man of faith, you know, the faith movement type. Mm-hmm. And he said, don't ever put your experience above God's truth. And so many people say, well, because I did this and this didn't happen, therefore God doesn't.
Right.
And the truth is, at the Gate Beautiful, Jesus passed that guy every single day and, you know, throughout his whole ministry and never prayed for that man. It wasn't until Peter came by, right, and said, silver and gold have I not, but what I do have, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. The question is, then somebody would say, well, you know, Jesus don't heal cripple people. Well, that was his experience, that he didn't have that encounter, but later on he found out that there was another way that God was going to heal him.
That's right.
We are not the epicenter of God's brain, you know, it's God's mind, put it away, not brain. And we have a tendency to get a revelation of God, and all of a sudden we're just kind of bringing people around that instead of understanding that that's where you are in God right now, and that's cool, and it lines up with Scripture. But this is so important that when you're seeing a nation leave its constitution, it's a byproduct of the church leaving its constitution. We've left or leaving its constitution. And I believe that there's going to be a outpouring. There's going to be a great awakening, which will come because of difficult season, difficult time. And when you think about the 1970s, I was listening to Dr. Charles Simpson out of Charles Simpson's Ministries and Integrity Music and all these different things that he's a part of.
So much, right?
He can't even, he just, when you hear him talk, you're like, okay, I'm going to throw out everything I've ever said. And I'm going to go get, you know, linguistic degrees and practice my hermeneutics. No, anyway, it's his gift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But he's hearing the same thing that we're hearing is that God looks for opportunities to show forth His mercy. So understand, you know, because men don't want to show somebody mercy, it doesn't mean God doesn't want to show them mercy. And so don't underestimate the power of God and God's willingness to make a way where all of a sudden that when it looked like it was hopeless and it was going nowhere, that God just does it. He just does it. You know what I'm saying? And if you put God in a box, you're going to be really embarrassed because He's not in your box. I mean, He may hang around it for a little bit and it'll look like you're like, wow, that's amazing. It's like, I guess His box was right. And then all of a sudden you find out God's bigger than that box. You're thinking, oh, I guess He does heal. I remember a man told me once, and we're fixing to go to a break. I'm going to talk about the power of God today. You know, and we're also talking, of course, about the inaugurations taking place today and MLK Day. But he said, I don't believe in healings. I don't believe in any of that. And this particular friend of his shows up at a place, and he got a chill up his spine. And the power of God was moving in this place. And, mm-hmm. and so he goes back and reports, says, listen, God confirmed to me that this is not God, because I got that feeling up my spine called the power of God. Mm-hmm. And so he just wrote off what God was doing. And the other particular man is talking to me. He says, well, I don't believe in miracles until his daughter was born without a forearm.
Mm. Oh, wow.
And all of a sudden I get a phone call. And he's saying, what? I mean, it's amazing. Ooh. You know, you don't believe in prophets till you need a word.
Yeah. Right? That's right.
Yeah. You don't believe in love until you need love. You don't believe in miracles till you need them. And listen, if you just go ahead and believe now, maybe you won't be put in those situations where you have to be able to cry out like that. And we're talking about the power of God. We're watching right now. You can go to the VFN Torch right now. Go to VFNTV.com. Click on the torch, and you can watch live the inauguration. It's sitting there for you on the VFN Torch. You go to VFNTV.com, click on the VFN Torch, and you can watch. It's right there live. You can see it taking place as we speak. A historical moment. It's just major prophetic moment as well. Mm. But I'm thinking about the power of God. What is the one thing that Jesus said that was just really powerful? A lot of things Jesus said was really powerful. But he was talking to his disciples and different people that were following him. And the people that followed him didn't necessarily weren't part of the family, you know what I mean?
Right.
They liked what they were getting from him. But he says, you know, if you don't believe what I'm saying, if you don't believe what I'm saying, you know, at least believe the evidence of who I am. If you don't believe what the words that I'm saying, that I'm the Son of God, believe the evidence, the power that I am the Son of God. And when you think about it, you're meditating on, you know, what Jesus did. And I encourage you that 2013, let it be a year you just stay in the Gospels. Just stay. I mean, obviously you read your whole Bible or whatever, but I mean, hang around in Jesus' words, because they're trying to deny him today. They're trying to pull him out of everything. Mm-hmm. Maybe in the church, only 19% are even reading the word. Let's tell you 19%, I'm talking to you. Let's go and read the Gospels, and let's hang on the red letter words, if you have red letters where Jesus' words are written in red, and read the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and begin to and meditate and just ask God to reveal to you. And it has to come by revelation. This can't be information where, you know, I read it and I see, and intellectually I'm going to accomplish this in my life. It's actually revelation being revealed to you. And so I would encourage you to just begin to meditate. And we call that abiding. Abide in Matthew. Abide in Mark and Luke and John.
And spend time in his word and just go ahead and just read it. But right. don't you know, someone just said, you know, don't read through the book. Allow the book to go through you. Don't read through the Bible. Let the Bible go through you. Spend time and meditate and hear what God is saying.
Right. And in abiding, you can go to iabide.org to get you an abiding plan. But I'm telling you, you would be so amazed at how when you read some of God's word and you stop and you pray about his word, and then you ask God to reveal that word you just read, to reveal it to you, what you just read, and be mm-hmm. open to what he's revealing to you, not locked in your head, not already fixated in what you think is being said there. And because the word is living, active, and is sharper than a double-edged sword, that it penetrates even the dividing of thought and intent and the attitudes of the heart. And understand that it'll rock your world up.
Yes, it will.
It'll do surgery on your brain.
And your heart.
And so begin to meditate on it. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
AB Mobile Mechanics, fast, friendly, and fair. Everything from ACs to water pumps, on-site repair all over the Gulf Coast. Give them a call today. Brunson Air and Heating in Mobile. They can do all of your service work quick and efficient. Give them a call today. Brunson Air and Heating. You'll be glad that you did. Taqueria Ogies, authentic Mexican food. They're coming all over the Gulf Coast for some. Come get some today. Spicy, hot, and delicious. Your plate is next. Blue Angel Hot Tubs, Pools, and Spas. Contact Joyce today if you're looking to make that addition to the home. They have a wide selection of hot tubs, and the price is right. They even ship nationwide. Give them a call today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It's just amazing what's taking place. But listen to this, the author of The Game Plan.
Yeah.
The Game Plan, which is Kevin Freeman. Kevin Freeman talking about, well, this is what we're believing for, is a third great awakening. A third great awakening in America. But this is the key to it. Listen up.
If we lose everything, it's okay, as long as we know who's in charge and that we have each other.
That's right.
And that we know what's important. There's no doubt. Is there any doubt in your mind? If we know that, we win.
We not only win, but if we cry out to God, we repent of our hedonism and everything else, and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and move through this earth, we won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
And I'm telling you, if you missed any of our programs, we have four programs back to back. You want to make sure to catch them. Of course, you can always go to VFNTV.com, but don't forget, we have podcasts available for you. If you haven't signed up for the newsletter, oh my goodness, sign up. Go to VFNTV.com. In the right-hand corner, you can select newsletter sign up, and every single week, you're going to get the highlights of that week's program, mm-hmm. and then you're also going to get an opportunity to get every single program that was available, that was shared on that week's segment.
Wow.
So it's all contained in an email, and you can take it, you know, have VFN Radio on my phone, and we'll go, you know, on your iPad. Mm-hmm. And I get so many reports of people telling me, hey, listen, I was just sitting with my iPad, it went to the newsletter, and it just, you know, click, 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 and I just heard one after the other, you know. It's a great way. So sign up for yourself, and also sign up a friend.
You know, Greg, you ever had a conversation with a believer, and you asked them, you know, hey, what is God saying today? What's the Lord saying to you today? And oftentimes you'll sometimes hear back, well, you know, my pastor preached last Sunday on X, Y, Z. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you know, that's cool. I mean, I appreciate that. That's awesome. But what did God say to you today?
Right.
And you get this puzzled look back.
It can be really frustrating as a minister, can't it?
Is God supposed to speak to me?
You ever heard this Jesus you profess, you know?
Well, let me tell you, abiding is about what God is saying to you individually. Yeah. That God desires to speak to you, and he's going to speak to you through his word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love John 10. It says, my sheep know my voice.
Yes.
And I remember when I began to start to abide, mm-hmm. and it was just the most beautiful thing to hear that God wanted to speak to me through his word. You know, if you're out there and you wanted to hear God's voice and you want to know God in an intimate way and hear what he's saying to you specifically about your situation, because God cares about you.
Yes, he
cares
he
about everything that's happening in your life, what you're going through. And the Bible is not a history book, but it's a living book because it comes from the author. And God wants to speak to you directly about your situation and your life and how much he loves you. You know, if you go to iabide.org, you can request a simple plan just to learn how to abide, how to spend time with him and hear his voice. I encourage you to do that. iabide.org.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. And understand this, that even Jesus, this is the Son of God. He says, listen, if you don't believe what I'm saying, believe the evidence. And you should be. You should be asking the question, where's the evidence? If this God that you're saying is God of the Bible that's with you, then where is the evidence that he's with you? What's the evidence? And it's nothing wrong with that. It's nothing wrong with that. If you're in a place that you don't have any evidence around you, ask God, begin to pray. Say, Lord, I want the evidence of the kingdom in my life. Moses said, you know, if you don't go with us, I don't want to go, because the only thing that will differentiate us from everybody else in the world is your presence being with us.
Right.
And so don't be okay going on without God's presence. It's okay to stop and say, wait a minute, you know, you told us to imitate you and to as you were sent, we're being sent into the world, and you were sent with power, the power of God. And when you think about it, when Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, Jesus is going throughout all of Galilee. He's teaching in these different areas, and he's teaching in synagogues, and he's preaching the good news, which is this, that God loves you. God's got a plan for your life, that you are caught in sin that you cannot remedy. But if you go to God and confess this reality that you need a Savior, and you cry out to God and say, God, I need you. I want you. I am a sinner. I have fallen short. You know, would you forgive me? Would you accept me in the family of God? And he will. That's good news. And he forgives our sin as far as the east is from the west. And then he went around healing every disease and sickness amongst the people that he was ministering to, the people group. That was just beautiful. Mm. Yeah, that's Jesus's ministry. And he would say, if you go back and we'll talk about it in a little bit probably, is that if you don't believe what I'm saying, believe the evidence that proves what I'm saying is true.
Mm-hmm.
But then as you're meditating on that and you're going, wow, that's just awesome, God. And that's so cool. And then John chapter 17, 18, Jesus says, as he's talking to the Father and he's praying, he says, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. So just like Father God sent Jesus into the world to do what I just talked about and all the things that he did, that's how we got sent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're sent to do that. So we're not sent. This is our purpose. This is our destiny. This is what we're sent to do. As believers, we were sent by Jesus Christ, like Father God sent Jesus himself, to go into the world and do the very same things that Jesus did. As a matter of fact, he says it in Mark 16, 15 through 20. He talks about it. I mean, that he's just about to be taken away. And he's finished up what he came to do on earth, Jesus has. He's about to be start his feet going to come off the ground. He's going to get higher and higher and higher. His body's going up, and he gets in the clouds, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, these guys are like, what you doing looking up here? He already told you what to do, right? The same That's Jesus right. you see now going up is going to come back in the same way. And so this is what Jesus said. His last words were the very same thing we're talking about. He said, in Mark 16, 15 through 20, he says, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. So the same way he was preaching in this community is what we're supposed to be doing. Listen, if you're a believer, you're a preacher. Preach. You know, tell people, just tell them, open your mouth and let the words come out of your mouth. And then he says this right after that. He says, and all these signs will accompany those who believe. Oh, this is pretty cool. Wait a minute. So just like all this power was with Jesus and Father sent him, now Jesus has sent us like Jesus was sent by the Father. And we're to preach the same gospel that Jesus preached, but the same power that was with Jesus is supposed to be with us, because he says, listen, when you go preach the gospel, and that's the key. So many people are preaching everything but the gospel, you know, but preach the gospel, that's the power. And he says, all these signs will follow those who believe. So this is very important, what I'm talking about, and I'm meditating on myself, is begin to just pray. Say, God, reveal the kind of faith, the belief that I need in my life to know that this is the only way. This is the only way to advance your kingdom. This is the only way to separate all the mere talkers from the true walkers, ones who walk with the Lord. And he says, in my name, this is not somebody says, yeah, I prayed a prayer. Now we're talking about believers. Our believers here, right? Mm-hmm. He says, in my name, they will drive out demons. So that's what Jesus did, right?
Right.
And Jesus walk in a room and all of a sudden they go, you know, Son of God, what do you have to do with me? Oh my goodness, you come here before my time. It's like, shh, be quiet. They don't know this yet. I've been trying to tell them, but they don't know yet. I had to tell them about the evidence, but you already know. You're a demon and you believe, right? Demons believe and tremble. And he told them to hush up, and he threw them out and all that kind of stuff and cast them out. He says, in my name, they will drive out demons. A lot of things are being diagnosed, especially like these, I mean, everywhere. And you see people, they're trying to fix it some way other than spiritually. And the person is just bound. You're wrestling with spiritual wickedness. You're not wrestling with, you know,
generational ailments. You're wrestling with generational curses, you know, quite often. Not everybody that's got a demon. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about, you just look at the Sandy Hill Elementary School shooter, and you just look at the picture. And if you know anything about demon possession, that means he's demon possessed.
Yeah, Sandy Hook.
I mean, Sandy Hook. Yeah, Sandy Hook. Sandy Hook, or you look at the shooter in Aurora, Colorado. Right. You just, I mean, it's like, do we have any discernment at all? Are we really going to blame the video game, or are we going to blame the church of us not going out and preaching the gospel and driving out demons?
That's right.
You know, because they're obviously inhabiting people. And he says, in my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and they will drink deadly poisons, and it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. I mean, you think about that. That's what we're supposed to do. That's why it's good news. That's why the people like to see the church coming, I guess, if we're moving in power. I mean, it's good news for you to show up if I'm sick, because you're going to pray for me and I'm going to be healed. Understand that just from experience alone, everybody that Jesus raised from the dead died, you know, and how they died, probably various ways. But the whole thing, it was the demonstration of power that proved that what he said he was, who he said he was who he said he was. He was that person. Mm. And so it's not about, hey, you know, that, you know, because you got sick, then you're not walking with God. No. It has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with that. Paul was talking about, I hope that my physical element does not get in the way of, I hope it don't get in the way of the gospel that I'm preaching. The power of God was moving in Paul's life and ministry, and people were getting healed and delivered and those type of things. But at the same time, I mean, he had physical struggles as he's talking about those different things, thorn in his flesh. And he's talking about, he had to have somebody else write it for him. And I think about Smith Wigglesworth, when here he is preaching healing, he's preaching the gospel. These guys were so good. They preached the gospel forever, how long it took, and then they would pray for healing. And he would have to pause. He'd step his message, step out, and go back to the hotel room. He would pass a kidney stone.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he'd be, okay, well, this is canceled meeting. He would come back to the meeting, finish preaching, lay hands on the sick, and they'd be recovered. Somebody says, well, how could that be? Well, the whole thing, it's not obviously this body that we're in is not going to live forever. You don't know how long you have. You don't know how you, but the power of God, when you see the demonstration of the power of God, that's why you can see people who get healed, but they immediately begin to doubt their healing. They begin to, you know, God healed them, and they think, sometimes they think, I'm saved because I got healed, or sometimes they think I'm right because I got healed, but it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. And God was drawing them to himself. He heals them. He demonstrates his power. But then they don't even talk about him. They just walk away from him and say, I can't tell anybody about this Jesus. And he goes, if you're ashamed of me before men, the next thing you know, it just comes back on him. But you just don't know how, I mean, life ends on this earth and it begins in eternity, whether with God or not with God.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
You know, quite often, you know, we're looking and we're searching, we're trying to find out, you know, maybe this will actually make me feel better. Maybe this job will fix me. Maybe this relationship will fix me. Maybe money will fix me. Maybe education will fix me. Maybe medication will fix me. I don't know what it is, but something, we're always trying to, we don't consciously say, hey, I need a fix. We don't consciously say, I have a hole in my heart and I'm trying to fill it. But the truth is, if we really studied it, if we really thought it through, the truth is that we have a hole in our heart and we're trying to fill it and nothing's working. And I'm going to tell you something, that journey that you went on, that you went to relationship after relationship, you went to job after job, you went after money, you went after fame, whatever it is, and it leaves you not only dry, but it leaves you shameful. It leaves you like, I'm not worth anything now. But let me tell you something, that was nothing but a distraction. That our God, through his son, Jesus Christ, can actually cleanse you from all that. Don't worry about it. It's only religious people who will tell you that God won't accept you. That's like the Pharisees. That's the whole reason why Jesus came for us. You know, you've got to meet God through his son, Jesus Christ. There's nothing more powerful. As a matter of fact, we shared a few of our stories at meetmyfather.org. We've shared a couple of them just to find out so you can get the different perspectives of how, you know, the people that God saves. You know, Paul said this. He said, the reason why God saved me is because I was the chiefest of sinners. And by looking at me, you can see how big his grace is. There's enough grace for you. You've got to meet my father. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. The Orange.
BRSM.
BRSM. Brownsville Revival School of Ministry. Where they wear polyester slacks.
Sure did.
Did you now?
I guess.
Still do.
So what's happening?
Well, my goodness. Dr. Brown, yeah. Michael Brown, he has put this article out there in Charisma Magazine. And yeah. It's the anointing. It transferred.
I know. Isn't amazing? Help it. It never happened until it happened.
Until, yeah, exactly. Thank you. Thank you for that contribution. Yeah, yeah, to the program.
Mental tar babies. Mental tar babies.
Thank you. Anyhow, he talks about these 10 quotes that really have helped to shape his life and those that he's committed to memory. And
his mustache. Right. He has a big, huge mustache.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does.
Well, I wanted to share
We're
them
just
with
blowing
you.
Your mind. Can we get it's like
Till, yeah.
That's amazing.
And didn't see the connection, but okay.
Okay, right. I forgot you were his student, yeah. So I know you probably think differently in the context.
It was Hagar.
Of that.
Remember?
It was Hagar. I know. Didn't she come from the... Anyway,
go ahead.
Okay, so back to all-time favorite quotes. I can't even say them today.
Dr. Brown, I did not say that. Dr. Brown, I did not say that. You call it croaks?
Quotes.
Croaks.
Quotes.
It's not, well, you know, croakers.
Quotes.
Okay. Quoters. Quoters, not croakers.
Ready?
Got it.
All right. Okay, we're here. All right. VFN Radio, we're here. Okay.
Yeah, is it hot or is it just
It's
the croaks?
Just you. So, the number one.
What are we talking about
quote,
again?
Very serious quote, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh,
very
my goodness.
Very serious quote. Very
Let's get
serious
in the
quote.
Serious
yeah.
mode.
I think
Ian,
so.
We are paying attention right now. Man, this is serious.
Thank you, Ian.
Yeah, okay.
So.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT. Light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. And so the power of God, it's the power of God demonstrated that he said is evidence that I am who I said I am. And he says in my name, and the power is in the name of Jesus Christ. And it's so important that when he sent his disciples out, when you talks about sending his disciples out, he sends them out and they went out preaching everywhere. And the Lord worked with them, confirming exactly the gospel that they were preaching right there. Think about it. He tells them, even in Luke 10:3-8, he says, go, I'm sending you out. So he told the ones, and he says, and when you enter a town and are welcomed, which means you can't force a miracle on someone. I guess Paul did force an act of power on Eli. Be blind. You know, be blind. And he's like, okay, I need some help. I got a cane. And but in regards to if you're not welcomed, it takes faith. People's desire to believe that God's going to move is your faith in you, inside of you, right, which is a whole nother aspect of it. But when you enter a town and are welcome, heal the sick who are there. Heal them. And tell them the kingdom of God is near. So you're simultaneously the power and the message. 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 And John 14:11, he says, believe in me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe the evidence of the miracles themselves. Mm. And let me tell you what's going to happen in this powerful outpouring that's going to take place. It's going to be a power outpouring, the power of God, just moving powerfully. I know that hopefully we're going to have a chance to either talk in the first hour or the second hour of some things the Lord has shown
John and myself about the outpourings and the glory. Show me the glory and all the different things. But God's going to pour his power out in a powerful way. And what when the power of God gets poured out, understand this, that the mere talkers are terrified because it separated them instantly. The second the power of God moves, because the kingdom of God is not about mere talk, but about the power of God, and it totally, they have to come and attack it because it's like, well, if that's true and I don't have any evidence, then they come after that. And I'm going to talk about that. God literally showed me what's going to be, what has always taken place, but what will be taking place simultaneously while the power of God is moving. But listen, this is not, this is a normal conversation that is supposed to happen with us in the kingdom of God. And he said, listen, this is even Jesus saying this. He said, listen, if you don't believe what I'm telling you about the Father's in me and I'm in the Father, he said, at least believe the evidence. You know what? Christ in you is the hope of glory. You're going to have to believe this because that's where God's going to manifest himself. And it's Christ in you. You're not praying him down. You're believing him out.
There you go.
You're believing him out. And he says, I tell you the truth, anyone, listen to this, anyone, and we're going to break this, but he says, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. When you think about it, I was just talking about what Jesus had said and how his ministry is and how we're supposed to go. He says, listen, he said, you know, he's talking to him in John 14:11. He said, listen, believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe the evidence of the miracles themselves. Understand this. Part of understanding about the kingdom of God is being revealed to you, but also that Christ is in you. Power of God is in you. Mm-hmm. And the hope of glory for the world is for the church to realize that you are glory containers, that you are the kingdom of God's containers. And then he says this, and then he says, listen, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. So when you look at Jesus's ministry, and so many people go, whoa, you know, yeah, and he is whoa, and he is yeah, but understand, he set the example for us to walk in his shoes, to imitate him, and to please the Father, because his life gave glory to the Father. Understand that our life is supposed to give glory to Jesus, to bring glory to the Father. That's how it works. Mm-hmm. That's how it works when we obey the words of in Jesus's name. And he says, not only that can we do what he did, but he says we can even do greater things than he did. Even greater things. Mm. And Lord, forgive our mindsets. Forgive our limitations. Forgive us for putting you in our boxes.
Yeah.
There is hope in the power of God. He says, because, and this is the reason why we can do that. He says, because I'm going to the Father. And think about it. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now, looking at us and going, hello, at least believe the evidence. You know, if you're going to believe that I'm in you and the Father's in me and we're one. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think about that. And he says, and I will do, when I'm sitting by the Father, he's saying, I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son of Man may bring glory to the Father. Listen, this is not about, and I've seen people who say, you know, I want a healing ministry. And what they really want is to be worshiped. You know,
right.
They're looking versus that you want people to know God. You want them to know God. You know, we've prayed for people. We've seen people heal, but we want to see more people heal. We want to see just an explosion in cities and towns and mass outpouring, a third grade awakening where everybody understands the revelations that we're talking about now. And in this, he says, listen, he says, you may ask anything in my name, and I will do it. What is that? When he says you may, that's permission. Mm-hmm. Mm. Not only have you been commissioned, but you've been given permission by the Son of God himself. You may. Mother, may I. Father, may I. Jesus, may I. He says, you may.
Yes, you may.
You may ask anything in my name, and I will do it. He's just looking for, this brings glory to God when we do this. He tells us in John 15:8, he says, and 16, he says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Understand that when we ask God for, because of our faith in Jesus Christ, to heal somebody, this brings glory to God through Jesus Christ.
and makes his kingdom known and shows that person and whoever else observed that, that we're disciples of Jesus. We're followers of Jesus. That's what separates us. And he goes on in 16, he says, listen, you didn't even choose me. You didn't even choose me. I chose you and I appointed you to go. So not only do you have a commission, not only do you have permission, but you have a commandment where he's saying, listen, hello, quit thinking too much. You know, you didn't know nothing. You were stuck in your sin. And then I saved you. Remember that? You were laying in your pool of blood. I walked by and I looked at you and I said, live. And all of a sudden he just forgave our sins and he cleansed us and he brought us into himself. And now he's saying, listen, you didn't choose me. I chose you and I appointed you. And what does that mean? When you think about it, that means that God had something in mind. Mm. He had something in mind. He appointed you to go and bear fruit, showing yourselves to be his disciples, bear fruit and lasting fruit. So the power of God is what is made manifest when we believe the gospel in which we preach, that we're followers of Jesus Christ. But let me tell you something, that the name of Jesus is so powerful that people on the last days are going to be thinking that they were saved and they're going to be talking to Jesus. And Jesus, this is Matthew chapter 7, they're going to say to me, Jesus said, they're going to say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not use your name and these things happen? Mm. Yeah, right? He's going to say, right? I'm not. Mm-hmm. I'm now.
Yeah.
Correct me. You know, challenge it if it's not in the Bible. And he's going to say, but I never knew you. That's how powerful, how much power is in the kingdom. That some person who doesn't even know them, that's very religious, even the sons of Sceva, it worked for a while. And understand that it can work. So it's the power of God is just something that just naturally comes with those who are Jesus' disciples. They follow us. We don't follow signs. Signs follow us. He says, these signs will follow those who believe. We're not supposed to jump in our cars and planes and trains and try to find a sign. We're supposed to be a sign. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to preach the gospel. Go, and the thing is, going somewhere, quit talking to Nazareth. Listen, how many times are you going to talk to people that ain't going to listen to you? You know, Jesus preached and then he moved on.
Yeah.
And some people is like, if you talk to me one more time, talking about your Nazareth, like, come on.
How many more ways do I have to tell you no?
How right clearly?
Now? You know what I'm saying?
And they go, oh, but I love him. Oh, but listen, Jesus was nailed to a cross for Nazareth. Mm. So can't say that we love somebody more than somebody else. Everybody say move on. Move on. At least shut up. Okay. You know, move on. There's other people God loves, you know, and God even loves those folks more than you do.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Just Fish and Grits. If you're in the mood for some good Southern cooking, visit Just Fish and Grits today to dine in or to take out. You can have your meal on the go. It is good. Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Go visit Tony Baker. Listen, doesn't matter if you're in good shape, bad shape, he'll get you in the right shape. All the training you can get for self-defense in Pensacola. Visit him today at Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Amazing Automotive, serving all of your automotive needs for over 30 years. Where their motto is, if it flies, floats, or rolls, we can work on it. On the corner of Hollywood and Marietta Boulevard. Come, bring your vehicle in today. Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai. Buying a car can be an overwhelming thing. I encourage you to visit Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai, where Glenn makes buying a car smooth and easy. Visit him today in Car City. You'll be glad you did. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information. Phone numbers, web addresses, emails, call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Steve, Pat, it's the weekend. Now, you do know what that means.
Oh, yeah.
The marathon weekend.
That's right. It's the marathon weekend, boys, and you don't want to miss it. Saturday, 9 a.m. all the way till Monday, you'll be able to catch back-to-back VFN radio programs. You certainly don't want to miss it. No interruptions, no commercials, just pure education, pure inspiration, pure revelation on Marathon Weekend. Don't miss it.